touching my life. Tried everything, but nothing turned out right. Then the master, he took my hand. Now he's leading me to the promised land. Love me, oh yes, my Jesus, he loves me, oh yes, Jesus, love me, for the Bible tells me so,
tells me so.
Working good in my little empire.
Her empire.
Empire. Yeah. Yeah. Father said we was a bit emotional. Yeah. But nevertheless, I've been busy working and doing what I do.
Yeah. I was just the phone and you. I can feel it.
Ain't that something, you know? I was sharing with Rita about, because, you know, my father's been gone for a while. But it just never seems normal, you know, especially when there's somebody that raised you, you know, somebody that you look to for that affirmation for a lot of things in your life, you know. And it's a heavy, It could be a heavy thing. Sometimes it could be a time of celebration. Sometimes it could just be a heavy thing. And it's okay to grieve. You know, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, my nerves. Oh, it should go again. Also, you know, people like that, I say, you know, I feel like people need to be a little scared of. You know, if you don't understand that people have emotions and sometimes you have to just allow yourself time to grieve. Mm-hmm. And everybody don't grieve at the same time. Everybody don't grieve the same way.
Yeah.
Some people don't, when I say grieve the same way, sometimes a person's grieving happens through on the day celebrating the memory. Who do we have on the line? Is that a child? Okay, so we talk about we grieve differently. You have to allow each other, sisters, to grieve differently. You know, to also be able to call us if necessary. Call the devil. Glory, glory, glory. Let us pray. This may sound a bit unorthodox, but I just feel like praying.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I just feel like praying. And I hope God will. But we need this to live. Amen. Just because it's raining, I don't mean that we have to be gloom and doom. But amen. Let's pray some joy up in here. Father God, just saturate this place.
Yes.
Lord, we need your joy, your love, your life. Even as we talk about our good stuff, Lord, we want joy to be in this room on today. We want your joy, Father God, and just saturate pages, YouTube channels, and all that. Lord, we want you to shift this atmosphere right now in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, you are able to do exceedingly above all we could ask or think. Now, Lord, you take the reins of this day, of this show, Father God, and have your way, glory to God. Something that will empower, inspire, or influence someone to get up and make that decision. Glory to God, and just bless somebody else.
Yes.
And Lord, we just thank you for it right now,
Lord.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
We know for a fact your ways are not our ways and your thoughts are not our thoughts. So Lord, we just give your thanks back over to you.
Yes.
Take control right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we surrender it all. Now, I know I'm a Christian. I was even in prayer, so I don't want to offend anybody. But I love the Lord. Hallelujah. And I need God to take control. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So let's talk about what everybody did this weekend. What did you do this weekend?
I didn't really do a lot this weekend. I buried my grandma last Wednesday, so mm-hmm. You know.
And our thoughts and prayers are with you.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I had my cousin was here. Cousins were here from Maryland, so. You know, we just kind of stayed in but hung out a little bit. And,
okay.
Hey.
I saw some business and different trips. And then I went to my dad's grave and then had lunch with my uncle. And his family.
Love John, what did you do this weekend?
This weekend I enjoyed my time with my husband, cooked for him, and that's what we pretty much did for the Father's Day weekend.
Okay, okay. All right, what did you do, Ms. Tammy? What did you do this weekend?
Well, we had a, my husband wanted to do, he wanted to feed, he does feed the hungry on various on weekends. So that's basically what we did. We did community service. We did some barbecue plates.
Awesome. I'll take this moment because this weekend was also Juneteenth, right? Friday was Juneteenth, okay? Everybody, so most people celebrated Juneteenth on Saturday, you know, people were off work and all that good stuff. But I want to mention an organization called Broken Chains Awareness Development Group. And it's led by Gary, I always pronounce his name wrong, Gary J. Jenkins. Well, I'm going to get in trouble for this. Ms. Gary, him and his wife, to honor Jenkins, they decided, I'm not going to do a barbecue. We're going to start an organization that that educates young people on our heritage.
Hey.
They said we're going to invest their education. We're going to invest, and so every year around Juneteenth, they have a banquet. I don't think they had it this year, but they have a banquet. They give a scholarship of $1,000 to a child graduating from high school, and they give them a laptop to invest in their future.
Yeah.
And, you know, they follow them throughout school and all that good stuff. And the organization was recognized by Sheila Jackson Lee, and they are one of our sponsors for I think it was our August publication of last year, but then they start just really being a part of what we do. So I want to make sure that you know about Broken Chains Awareness Development Group. If you want more information on it, you can send them a letter to their P.O. Box. That's P.O. Box 30273, Houston, Texas, 77030. You can also email them at brokenchains123@yahoo.com. Or you can visit their website at brokenchainsadg.org. Okay, again, they're a 501c3 nonprofit community outreach organization dedicated to providing opportunities to support young men and women experiencing spiritual and mental freedom. Established on the foundation of Juneteenth celebration, our motto is celebrating the past by making an investment in the future. Oh, amen. Ain't that powerful?
Yeah.
So we want to just acknowledge them. And we got a couple other people going to acknowledge today. Let me see. We got some other people online. But I know who that is. Hey, honey. I brought up Juneteenth. Did anybody do anything special for Juneteenth? Because, you know, a lot of people, Juneteenth was brought up a lot more, you know, of course, this year than it had ever been acknowledged ever. Anybody want to say anything about it?
Well, I just think that Juneteenth is really important to me. It's sad and important.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad because this is every year. It's a reminder of how we were treated.
Mm.
You know, slaves had been free, but they needed work, so they delayed letting the people in Texas free. So, you know, it's a kick in the face, but I love it because that's a time where we come together.
Mm-hmm.
Rally a bunch of stuff going on. You know, we really come together. And it shouldn't take a day, you know, a particular day for that to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
And I think, too, with everything that happened with our young people being killed and all that, it brought so much attention to the fact that, because you'll find out that people in New York had no idea what Juneteenth was. So it was the Southern in that 2.5 years. They didn't, you know, like, about, you know, when he was talking about Juneteenth.
Well,
and he had to explain to them what Juneteenth was. A lot of people didn't understand. I was talking about some barbecue and all this. What do you do? So it was an opportunity for him to educate.
I know my uncle is in Maryland, and some of the northern states have kind of celebrated because we migrated.
Migrated, that's right.
To other places and, you know, different things like that. So it's kind of heard of a little bit, you know, but it's a, you know, because of our migration to other places and celebrated it. You know, it's, you know, people, that's a good thing, too.
Mm-hmm. Want to say something, please? Oh. What about you, you want to say something on that?
You talking to me? Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that we celebrated, a lot more people celebrated this year because, like I said, they finally got the understanding of what Juneteenth was about. Me, myself, we've been celebrating it for some years back. So I was excited to learn that a lot of more people were celebrating this year. I mean, I get that a lot didn't understand, and I think a lot of parents have never, you know, talked to them about their history. And I think because of what is happening in society today, a lot of people are researching more than they ever researched. So I'm proud of my brothers and sisters for standing up and enjoying their day.
Yes. Really important.
Okay, what do you think about?
Well, I'm actually overly excited about our recognition in the history of, you know, so often we talk about Black history, and then when we're talking about other history, is American history. I'm super excited about, you know, unfortunately somebody, you know, had to be this straw, you know, with George Floyd, had to be the straw that broke the camel's back in order for people to acknowledge how bad it was. It pulled back the curtains completely. You know, it's not like, you know, how you peek and you look and so forth and you see pieces of stuff. But this, what it did, it snatched back the curtain. It snatched down the curtain to see the full extent, you know, how it was done. And so it catapulted people, like Miss Sultry said, it made people research more. You know, this has always been a passion of mine. It's been a passion of mine for a long time. And I it's a passion of mine on the business side because I'm a business owner. And I always make it my effort, a special effort, to support Black-owned businesses because we need that. We need that support. You know, it makes you feel good when somebody supports you in the midst of whatever you're doing. And I'm excited about the acknowledgement of our actual contribution to this country. You know, this country has a tendency to look at us, okay, well, you're Black, you was a slave, that was a long time ago, let's move on past that. But this country was, you know, everybody knows this, this country was built on the backs of slaves. And taking it a little further, this was, we was basically, we didn't even volunteer for this, we was forced upon this. You know, you took people at a young age and you put them in, you took them from a whole nother country or from their family and so forth and put them in a place where they felt like things were hopeless. They felt like they didn't have a choice. And not only that, you took their language from them, you took their culture from them, you took their whole being from them. You took their full identity from them in order to, for the sake of, you know, the almighty dollar. I mean, it's just the bottom line. The slavery was based upon money, 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 money. Money brings about power. And the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of money. But you love money so much that you're willing to mistreat somebody. So it's a lot of things are just coming to fruition now and coming to reality. And it's no longer in the back of people's mind. It's in the frontal of their mind. And they're constantly thinking about these things, and it's making them be more conscious of things that's going on. Now, although there are a lot of people out there that still choose to be ignorant and still choose to be hateful and all that kind of stuff, and that's unfortunate, but, you know, a lot of people are acknowledging it, and I'm excited for this time. You know, I think this time is overdue, you know, and you know, it keeps the conversation open. Now I can have a conversation with somebody and say, well, hey, support your black owned business and so forth. And it's not, it's we're understanding the importance of supporting each other. I mean, I'm just excited. I mean, just overwhelmed. You know, I'm just a loss for words, and I'm kind of at a rambling stage right now. But I'm excited about this time in history. You know, till people are coming together, but people are also acknowledging what was done. Could y'all hear me? Hello.
Yeah.
Could y'all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, because my phone was kind of going in and out a little bit, so I didn't know if y'all caught everything I said. It was a lot that I said, but I'm just excited. The basic gist of the paraphrasing, I'm excited about this time, and I'm excited to, and it makes you proud to be a sister of color, you know, and as I've always been, but I'm excited about it, you know. I get joy in my heart about it.
I came out of it, you know, but not forgetting, the one thing I don't want people to forget is that about the lives that were lost, about what needs to be addressed, what needs to be dealt with. And a lot of times we do that. After a while, we go back to sleep and
right,
we get
the same thing.
And the same thing. But young black people are still dying. Right. I watched a video of a young lady that she was just walking. And the police officer asked for her ID. But because she wouldn't give the police officer her ID, now he's following her and calling cop cars because she won't give him her ID, and she's just walking. And my thing is, and some people say, well, she should have just stopped, and she should have just given it. Say, but as a human being, why is it that I have to give you my ID just for existing, just for doing what I do? That means that I could be sitting in my yard and you could stop and ask me for my ID on property. Exactly. You get what I'm saying? Just like when they shot that young lady in her own house.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? We
kicked her door down.
I was watching. I don't know if y'all watched it because y'all know I was in that Greenleaf last night. And just be real with you, I'm going to leave that alone, but I was in that Greenleaf. So, but after Greenleaf, black girls, two came on, color girls, I think it's one of those, but it was about colorism, and I was watching it, and I felt it was powerful until I realized that we are, and y'all may disagree, but I was mad at it, because why do I have to sit and talk about my black for you to acknowledge my greatness? Why do I have to keep doing that for you? You get what I'm saying? Why can't I just love myself? You get what I'm saying? Why do I have to which I don't mind it. I'll do a documentary myself, and whoever want to join it, you can. But I'm saying let's do it in a way to where it's not we were put on display. They looked at our skin. They looked at how thick we were. She got childbearing hips. She got this, that, and the other. And I just don't want to have. I don't want to sit there and say, look at. I accept my nose. I accept. I love me.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? I'm telling you, my nose is different. God made all of us. I've seen some white folk with some big noses. You get what I'm saying? We have been victimized emotionally so much to some of the healing processes that we are taking. I think it's still separating us. You get what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It's not bringing us to a place where we are human beings. I love my black. I love all of it. But I want you to understand that I am a human being. I am worth something, not because I'm black, but because I'm a human being.
Right.
I don't want, and I'm not downplaying what we're doing as black people, because we need to shake some people. You get what I'm saying? But can we stand up and say, I want you to respect me because I'm a human being just like you.
Yeah.
I want you to respect. All of this extra separating, segregating, this, that, and the other. If truth be told, we all are one race anyway. I was listening to a lady talking. She was explaining to people we're all one race. Just the sun shining a little bright on the, you know, and so your skin had to be a little darker to deal with. You know what I'm saying? So we're all humans. I know it's some work, but when can we get to that place?
Humanity. That's probably never going to happen.
Come on.
I mean, I'm just saying that right there is probably never going to happen, because so long after our existence, not since we existed, so long after our existence, whenever the tables turned, we went from being kings and queens and royalty and
come
all this. I don't know what shift happened to bring us to where we became slaves and things like that happened. But, you know, at that point, it was about color,
yeah.
You know. And then it was about pitting us against each other in our color, because you're a little bit lighter, so you was probably not a child, but you had better, you know, you got better jobs. You may have been in the house where, as you know, I was outside, you know, and you know, so I tell people it's a smoke screen.
Get out the smoke.
It is. We all need each other, regardless of race.
Come on.
But within our own communities, we really need each other.
Hmm.
You know, we could be so much further as a people if we're not pitted against each other.
That's right.
So
that's right.
That's how I feel about that.
Anybody else want to say something on it?
Sultry, I know you got something to say.
I was waiting.
What do you want me to say? I mean, I'm just saying, I'm listening to you guys, and without seeing how I feel, you know what I'm saying? As far as the colorism, I'm like you. We all one race. I mean, we all the same color. Just because you're lighter or I'm darker, don't make me less than or more than. Once we realize that we're all the same, then I think that everybody will be in a good place. But right now, we're so many people are tearing us apart inside the black race. Because, well, somehow, apparent reason, you know, we seem to think lighter is better. And I think that's where everybody was programmed to believe that, but that's not true. You know, being a person of color, I have realized that I have seen so much colorism going around in my life that I just witnessed to it. And I was just like, really? Do you really think that? Because of your skin and the color of your skin. I just need everybody to know that it doesn't matter if you're lighter than me, you're darker than me, you're beautiful inside and out. We need to stand and unite, and we need to rise, and we need to teach our children our history, not just from slavery, from when we begin, from the kings and the queens where there was royalty, so they'll know where their beginning started, not where the middle begins.
Exactly.
And don't depend on these schools to sit up and educate your child on their blackness. Because, and I forget the lady's name, but she really got on it because they wanted to take black history in the schools out of history. We are a part, you know, we had a part in like the history or whatever, and then it was some book or whatever she got taken out because they wanted to write that we weren't slaves, we were indentured servants. Okay, that's actually what the history book said, that they wanted to put in school. They wanted to teach our children that we were not slaves, we were indentured servants.
They don't want to shame us. First of all, they don't want to take responsibility.
And then you want to be
Girl, I'm about to
that right there. You don't want to take responsibility for what you did, but then it was so horrible that you don't really don't want to say it, so you're going to make it something else.
Yeah.
No, right. That's what it looked like. Mm. This is what it was. We were not indentured servants.
Lord Jesus.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you, this whole thing is a powerful subject when we talk about colorism, because I was on my, I do a lady called Miss Prophet, right? It's a page, a lady called Miss Prophet. And I started with my first video last night about just me, right? But what I was talking about was from when I was a child, and the first time I realized that I was dark skinned. And it wasn't a white person. It was people in my family.
Oh my goodness.
It was people I didn't even know. I didn't know nothing about being dark skinned. I didn't know nothing about. You get what I'm saying? And we refer to it. That's why that Shaw Watch, I loved it. But it just jogged my memory. The first time I realized that I even had dark skin, you know, or they referred to it as being ugly or whatever. Because the way they said it, like, look at the little black gal, you know?
Little black gal, you know,
how they talk. And you don't realize, that's why I tell parents, be careful what you say to your children.
Yeah,
you give them
money.
When they leave your house, you give them, they already have bags that they're carrying away from your house because of what you started. I had an uncle that called me spooky. At the time, I didn't know what spook was. Now, he was like, when I got grown and got educated, you know, I was like, oh, my God. But now the whole family calls me spook. And I get so upset because y'all know what spook is.
Right. And I had no clue. Right.
And I had no clue. And I was answering to that name. That's why I always tell people, be careful what you
answer to. Yes. You can't control what they call you, but you can dang sure control what you answer to.
Come on. And that's why I say,
come on now.
In the country, that's why I say in the country, it was a lot of stuff, and I think me and Love Jones talk about that sweeping stuff under the rug. It was so much that, and we love the wisdom of the elders, but the wisdom of the elders, now that we can read, I ain't got no problem with your elders, okay? But we can read now, you understand me?
Right.
I remember times that they would say anything about your black knees, and they would say stuff to you. Like, look at my mama and my aunt stood me in front of a screen door. Y'all remember screen doors made out of wood, right?
Yeah.
My grandfather did that. Yes. Stood me in front of the screen door and was talking about, the shape of my body. You know what I'm saying? We did.
Wow.
Listen, we took what we learned as slaves, let's be real. When you were born in slavery, you take what you take that and develop it into your culture.
Right.
See, a lot of the things that we say are our culture, it's really not our culture.
Right.
They stood me in front of the door, talked about my eyes. My granny used to talk about my eyes, how big my nose was, and your daddy's people. Did you notice how they talked about us on the auction block? She's gonna have a house full of kids. You know what I'm saying? She ain't the prettiest thing. I had a pastor tell me, gonna be successful. Oprah ain't that pretty, and she's successful. You just called me ugly.
Wow.
And you think,
oh my
God. We can read now
right.
and comprehend.
Okay.
That's why I tell people, make sure the journey and the wisdom and the knowledge that you absorb from people is from a pure place.
A pure place. But you know what? Sometimes people, they're so broken and so thrown off and confused themselves that they don't even realize what they're saying.
They don't realize they're passing that horrible thing down to children. You know, they're passing it down to
you.
I get on a lot of friends and family members because I hear them saying, "Ooh, what's your black behind? Oh, look at your black." I hate to hear a parent call their daughter, "Oh, look at your black behind, your ugly little black behind." I said, "Don't do that." If I'm standing there, I'm going to tell you, I'm part of everybody's village. And if I ever hear anybody, I stand up for their child. I say, "Don't do that. You're going to break their spirit. They are beautiful. And don't ever tell them that they're ugly or they're black so they're dark, and their skin is beautiful. You know, I don't like that.
Let me tell you what my grandma used to say to me. I've always liked dark guys. I mean, the darker they are, the more I probably love them. I always love dark guys. And my grandmother used to say, you need to watch out for your future children.
Wow. Wow.
You need, like I said, I don't want to be dark. My grandmother used to say that to me. You know, she did. My granny used to say that to me. You need to watch out for your children.
It's so mean that you need that way, don't you?
Looking like a crayon.
That's so many people that feel that way. It's so sad that so many people that feel that way. Oh, I don't want my child to be dark. I don't want my business. I don't want to. And that's self-hatred. And don't even realize that, you guys. You know.
Well, my
wow.
grandfather, my color. My grandfather was probably about my color too, but my mama, you know, is about look actually lighter than real, so it really don't matter. We can toss up anything, you know, whatever. It doesn't
right.
matter. But I wasn't concerned. I wanted a brown baby, black baby.
I'm trying to avoid the stigma when people saying that it makes you not want to have a dark skinned baby. Because I had a cousin of mine tell me she was upset that me and her sister had light skinned babies. And she had this chocolate baby, and I was like, I thought the baby was gorgeous. Like, how do you feel that way?
Let me tell you, I had a mother-in-law from hell. I ain't scared to tell people. I had a mother-in-law from hell, and I had her first grandchild, baby, that grandchild came out looking just as light-skinned as she wanted to be. But baby, by the time that baby started, you know, coming into the toddlerism, that color started kicking in on them. And now, forget this. Grandmother was just the darkest, had the darkest, prettiest skin I'd ever seen. But she said she didn't want no dark babies. Soon as my daughter started, you know, the pigment of her skin started getting a little darker, she didn't want to pick it up as much no more. You know, now, what I couldn't figure out is your son is just as dark as you. What did you think was going to happen? But I'm like this. We have to do the work within our own culture. We have to do it. And we don't want to hear this, but we are racist within our own culture.
Absolutely.
We go right down to, I heard this black man, and I mean handsome black man, say that he don't want no children with no nappy hair. He want all his babies to have nice hair. So he gonna either be with a white woman or a Hispanic woman.
Well, his mama got nappy hair.
And his mama.
Well, let me tell you, I've seen some that was mixed, they still got that hair, so you'll get a surprise, child.
Okay, a surprise, baby. But
that's why I've been telling, you know, I'll be very particular on what I say when I say it. Because I know my opinion be a little different. because I tell people, I say, let's be real. In order to get where we need to go, we got to face the truth.
Yeah.
And we got to be 100, and we have to be genuine about what we're saying.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of people, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. But when is Black Lives Matter going to become mattering to their own people?
Girl,
that's why I don't really off to the subject, because they don't want to really hear what I have to say.
Well, we do.
Because I'm like, okay, it only matters when it comes to the opposite race. How about the Black Lives Matter to our own people? Why don't you support the same people? No offense to any other races, but you won't even water your own seed.
Come on.
And I'm not talking about people that have quality service.
Come on,
not all black people. Businesses are racist. You have black owned business that have professional quality service.
Yeah.
But yet you'll be on the side of an Oriental company and you'll go to them before you go to your own people.
Come
you know,
on down.
So that's why I just because you'll kill your own.
Yeah.
Why don't it matter then?
Oh,
but oh until somebody white got you pinned down to the ground,
woo!
Then it matters, and everybody want a Black Lives Matter. But black,
yeah,
you got all the young people, they shooting each other, killing each other, and it's within our own race.
Yeah,
we killing off our own people. I mean, truth of the matter is, we ain't gonna get where we need to go because we got to fix the problems in our own system.
That's right.
Yeah, they are. I don't condone what happened. I don't at all. And I'm not saying it's right at all. But at the same time, when we going to support each other? When we going to? Because a lot of them other races,
work.
I know they support each other.
But who going to do
they,
the work?
They, very seldom do you see them come outside their race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, one thing I love about our community, we very versatile. We can deal with some of everything.
Yeah.
We can make it work. But at the same time, when will we support and uplift our own kings and uplift our own queens? That's why they go outside the race, because the men's not uplifting the women like they should, and the women is not uplifting the men like they should. And so what do? We get mad when they go outside their culture,
mm-hmm.
because we not supporting our own like the way we should.
Come on,
Rita. And I'm
Rita,
so that's why I
sit over there crying when that mouth open, but listen. But stay right there, because you're talking about black businesses, and me and my husband talk about this all the time. My husband likes to do business with black businesses,
mm-hmm.
but when he calls a black business, let's get real with it. Now, he ain't going to stop. He just going to call another black person, okay, because he ain't doing it. He's going to patronize black business, okay? But when we call a black business,
got two stories.
My God. Why is
that?
I believe, let me just give this scenario. My husband's on the phone with me because he fixed my washing machine. So I want my washing machine fixed. The man said, okay, buy the part. My husband go buy the part.
He tells your husband.
He calls the man and say, the part is here. Come on, fix the washing machine. Well, I'm tired, and I got to go out of town. I got to fix my mama car, and I'm going over to this old man. This is an older man. And I'm just listening to this man go on and on about his back being hurt, and he got to take time for himself. This is, I don't even know you like that. You know?
Mom.
And so I'm like, oh, my God, and I'm so frustrated because I'm saying, this is what some of our businesses are presenting. I can't get in contact with you. You avoid my call. But let's just say if somebody of another race call you, you're going to make sure that stuff is done right because you feel like they're more of a better reference for you than I am. You're going to give me quality, sir. But you're going to turn around, you're going to give somebody of a different race.
Break that broke back.
Get over there and fix the washing machine. So we not only need to patronize black business, but black business
need
to show up.
They appreciate our dollar too.
Yeah. And we do, but it goes right back to what I said. There's some stuff in our culture that that ain't our culture. We listen, being a man, a woman of your word, you
ooh.
Know. Being a man, yeah. woman, listen, I got people that'll say, hey, I'm going to show up, and I'll be waiting on them. They don't even show up. They don't even call.
Oh, no.
Now, I have to make up to some people. You know, when people call me and I fell asleep, or Lord, that's understandable. But when you look on Facebook and they just somewhere else, you go, Facebook can tell all you want.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying, we have this thing with showing up for each other.
Mm-hmm.
We have this thing. It's just not about support. It's just for showing up for each other. It's in families. You can't count usually a family business. You pass that business on to the next one and the other one. Everybody say, I'm going to be a part. Somebody go to school to be a lawyer. Somebody go to school to be this, you know, to push the family business. But now it's so much jealousy within the family. Oh, she went out there and sing. I'm going to go over here and sing. You know, I'm going to go over here and show I can do it. But you don't want to get together and strike a mighty blow. You get what I'm saying?
Read
it up. Check me in.
What things do you realize in our culture, not just in our culture, our families, people are envying of each other.
Oh, my God.
They don't want to see
nobody outgrow them. Let's put it like that.
Yeah.
I tell people I said there's enough money in this world for all of us.
All of us.
So you know, even in the Bible, it tells us unity, the numbers count.
Right.
You know, when you have more than one person, we can pull together, we can make it work.
Because yeah,
when you're trying to do it by yourself,
yeah.
it's a whole load. You can't do it by yourself,
yeah.
and you far stretch.
Yeah.
But instead of people wanting to come together or black community, quote unquote, come together to support each other like the other people do, you know, they'll have 10 people living in one house and they'll build their money.
Really?
And then they, you know, everybody has their own business, everybody has their own house. They sacrifice for that moment. You know,
right,
to do whatever they need to
do. Tell all your family, hey, let's move into this big house.
Oh, you know, we can't do it.
I got to have my own space. Oh, I got to have my own kitchen.
Right.
Oh, so-and-so don't keep house well. Oh, no, live in the same.
We won't. And then another thing is people want to be part. You talking about... our community, people won't do their part. We say split this, split that.
Let's
go into this, and then we, you know, you can show the $800, $900 away every month so you can build to open your business or you can build to get your own house like other people do before you know it. Before they 30, everybody moved out and got their own house, got big old lands, got big old, you know, nice vehicles and opened their business because they support each other. Because we cannot make it without a support system.
Without a support system.
You have to, what people don't realize, we try to do these things on our own, but we wasn't meant to do these things. We wasn't meant to be independent. We're supposed to be codependent on
each other
to support each other's vision. We're supposed to support each other's endeavors. You know, family's supposed to come. That's what family's supposed to be.
But, you know, we sow that little seed, and people do it all the time. We sow that little seed of, and especially in network marketing. They'll tell you things so you get rid of them. If they, you know, network marketing, that's why I'm doing network marketing. Because they bring all these people in. You got this one person standing up here showing you all these cars, boats, and houses and vacations they've been on. And if you just do what they do, you're going to have the same thing, too. You know, and then you waiting for a residual check 2 years later, still ain't come, or it ain't reached over $100.
Mm-hmm.
And you still got to go and live off of them. You get what I'm saying? That's how we are kind of set up. You get what I'm saying? We got one person that makes all, you know, that's doing all everything. And they tell you, follow me, follow me. You talking about a partnership. We talking about people that like, I can't say that because I don't want to mess with that. how I put it. You got folk in families that will be successful. And instead of them hiring you, you get what I'm saying? They know you got the skills to do it. What they do? Tell me.
They go
hire somebody else.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? They go hire. I was sitting in church Sunday, and I listen to what people say. I really listen between the lines to what people say, you know, to their motives, I want to know what exactly you're saying. Because we could say razzle-dazzle. We could razzle-dazzle, can't we? And I listen to somebody talk about what they want to do with what they're doing. Right? Oh, and this is the vision. And I'm trying to say, if you're saying I'm included, I'm trying to see where I fit. Right? So if I come out of that conversation, you up here, and I can't see where I fit, but I can hear where all your children fit and all your this, you setting up an inheritance for your children. And I get upset with us because we don't know how, we'll go build somebody else's empire or dream, but we won't help. Like my brother, he got music, I got music. I say, y'all come on, let's work together. But everybody got, I got this over here, I won't work with you. I got this over here. I had to pray that spirit away from my family. So now my family is coming in and starting to work together. You get what I'm saying? Because you have to realize that is what the enemy did. They split our families up. And then they made us hate each other. Then they made us get used to not seeing each other. Then they made it to where you have a disconnect easily with your children. You get what I'm saying? I'm going to take your kids. I'm going to take your husband. I'm going to send them everywhere. I'm going to rape and use you for whatever I want to use you for. You get what I'm saying? For my women, men too. They was doing all kinds of stuff to us. But, again,
That's part of that culture. That's part of what, and we do it now to each other. We perpetuate the same thing today. May not do it physically, but we do it emotionally. We do it mentally. That's why a lot of our black men don't want to come home. They don't want to deal with you. They don't want to deal with nothing you got to say. Then that's why some women don't want to come home. They don't want to deal with you. They don't want to, you know what I'm saying? They don't want to submit to you. Why? Because they have worked hard and built up their life. You get what I'm saying? You told them they weren't going to be nothing. You're sorry. Wash the dishes. Do it. You get what I'm saying? But
right.
It was, that was woven into our culture.
I think now,
wait, Tammy Lilly, we still ain't heard from Tammy. Come on, Tammy. We just talking and you just on there. Talk to us.
I'm just listening.
Go ahead.
Okay, I have Titan on the live says, we have to hold our own to the same standard that we hold others. When you're giving our people third, fourth, and fifth chances, set your expectations. If they don't give you the quality customer service, stop giving them a chance, you know, chance after chance.
Come on.
He says we will keep going back to subpar service just because they're black.
Oh, my Lord.
He said because every time we talk about black business, we mention the same scenarios again and again. We have to do better. And on that note, so let me tell you, I have decided every Tuesday I'm going to eat at a black business
mm-hmm.
that I hadn't been to before.
Oh, that's
ideal. Okay. So I don't want to put these businesses on blast because they fail. They're eating. I'm just saying, the first one I had been to before, but, you know, I wanted some of their food, and I was going to get an alarm put on my car because it had been broken into. So I was on Chimney Rock and North Braeswood. I called to place my order at the red light, and the young lady answered the phone and just asked me to hold. So I said, okay, I'll hold. So I'm holding. And after about 5 minutes of holding, I started to hang up. But my spirit said, nah, girl, hold that phone.
Yeah.
So I held that phone. I got all the way to this eating establishment that was near Scott Street.
Uh-huh.
On hold, okay? When I got there, I asked for a manager and showed them my phone.
Uh-huh.
It was 17 minutes and some seconds, almost 18 minutes of holding
uh-huh.
on the phone. And they wanted to give me my food. I came here to buy something. I didn't
yeah.
come here to be given anything. You know? You know, you have to do better. So, you know, you have to do better. And then I was told, oh, well, the young lady put you on hold and left. You should have a phone that rings
Whoa.
Back. You know, you should have a phone that rings back when I'm holding for 2 minutes. And every time I'm holding for 2 minutes, y'all should know I'm on the phone because the phone should be ringing back. Fix it. You know, so I haven't gone back. Then the next Tuesday, I went to another black business.
Oh,
I'm going to just say it was in Third Ward, okay?
Oh, my Lord.
So I went, and I was told, okay, it'll be 30 minutes. And I'm like, 30 minutes for burger, okay? I said, okay, no problem. So the 30 minutes actually ended up to be 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole order was wrong.
Oh, my Lord Jesus.
So I had to wait an additional 25 minutes for them to fix it. So needless to say, I'll never go back to that place. Now, I haven't put them on blast yet. I just want to find one that's going to do me right. Just one
I'm
that's going
to
do me right.
I'm going to put you on restaurant review for my magazine.
Oh, ooh, come on, Titan. That's my...
Put you on restaurant review.
Yes, let me tell
yes,
you.
That'll
I,
be
I'm
wonderful.
Like, you know what? I'm like, I just want to find one. Now, the next one that I'm going to, I won't say the name, because my face is on here and I don't want to be treated a certain way just
now,
because
don't,
I come.
We're going to do some articles.
Come
we're do
yeah,
some.
But I'm like, come on now. You know?
That I need to know.
Yeah, and I even mentioned this next restaurant I'm going to go to because they were black in my book. So I just want to go to make sure they're okay before because I've never been. But, yeah, come on, we have to do better.
Yeah, we have
to. We have to do better, yeah.
We have to.
I think, but at the same time, I also think that customer service thing kind of go overall.
to quite a few businesses, not just a black owned, because I ran into customer service. And I think customer service is one of those particular subjects that's very broad when it comes to businesses, because sometimes, especially with the black owned, they're very far stretched. Mm. And he might have had only one, two people, and you never know, they're trying to get whoever they can get to help them out, and she put them off. You just never know what the situation, because I know me personally, especially with my business, somebody may say, oh, well, she ain't got the greatest customer service, but when you like one person or two person trying to do a million things, and you're the owner or the CEO, and you just hire, you know, pick up somebody and say, look, I just need you to answer the phone. And they may not be the very greatest person in answering the phones, but they felt like they had some help at that moment, because I find that we'll go to the nail shops, we'll go to these beauty supplies that treat us like trash.
Not me.
They'll come, they looking at you, and I know, like, for me personally, I would go, and if you watch me, every little, sometimes, yeah, I don't go back. I'll go to one that's really appreciative of my service, because I'm like, I'm giving you my little coins, my little dollar, you know, so don't treat me like I'm a criminal.
Yeah.
I'm just walking here trying to, you know, but I understand maybe some things they've experienced before, but sometimes I find that we'll go to the nail shop that they sometimes, you know, talking about you in their other language or whatever, and then you know they talking about, what we do? Still go back? Well, and then they'll be like, go to the black owned. And that's what I was telling people. I had wrote a Facebook post about go to the black. I said, but you have to realize you're telling us where not to go, but you ain't telling us where to go. I do understand we want to support our people, but you got you have a Taco Bell on every corner. You have a beauty supply, 10 of them on every corner. You know, it's okay to go to our sister, but she way across town. When I got 5 right here on the corner, I may not have time to go 45 minutes across the neighbor, you know, across town to go get some hair or whatever the case may be. But you, yeah, so we have to support and we have to build in our own community, and one way we can do that is by supporting it, watering our own seed, because we struggling.
Yeah.
To be truthful, we're struggling. So while, you know, they say don't support Taco Bell, don't support Pizza, because they all support Trump, whatever the case is, or why they saying don't support them, but you have them on every corner soliciting, and then these are the places you've been going to. So it's not like, oh, all of a sudden stop going. Okay, so if I stop going, I understand I want to support black-owned businesses, but I mean, I can go right across town right now. I'm just going to run Taco Bell, give me a little taco.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm saying we it's just.
But we also
very,
don't, we also really don't have, we have to, even though they Taco Bell right on the corner, when you make a decision to support, you got to be willing to go to that
just
smile. That's why we,
Montgomery,
when you talk about even the customer service, mm-hmm. I think that if you don't know certain things, we also got to be able to teach each other certain things.
Right.
When in establishments, they say customers always right. In black business, sometimes we don't want to listen to the customer. Take what I gave. This is what I do. Yeah, I know what I'm doing. But we don't want to listen to criticism. We don't want somebody to give us honest criticism.
Sure.
And you want my family to come back here and eat, because James gonna tell you, hey, let me give you a tip. It ain't gonna be money. I'm gonna tell you what's going on. But it is a way to address people.
Right.
You know, and I had to tell my husband that all the time. You can't talk to people any kind of way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? People wasn't raised in the same house as you.
Right.
So you got to find a way. We have to find a way even with our people on how to receive, but also receive good criticism, honest criticism, but also how to give it,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that we can. Because I don't mind traveling to go and patronize black business if I know where to go. But I'm not going to walk in there and I get my nails done for $35 over here, and I walk in here and you charging me $55, and then your attitude is horrible. You get what I'm saying?
Right, mm-hmm.
So you got to tell me how you going to make up balance the thing out. I'm not, you know, people, I'm not going to do it. You get what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you, hey, over here, I got a whole foot massage. People got jazz playing while I'm sitting here, you know, and my nails are going to be fun, girl. We could do karaoke if we want. I'm just saying. So I'm going to tell you how they get you. That's how they get you, though. They make it so comfortable, whatever.
and you go, oh, but then I go somewhere else. I'm a patron. I'm going to give up. And this ain't about color. This is about my comfort.
Service, right.
It's about service. So if I'm going to go over here to another place, you get what I'm going to patronize you. And I walk in, and everybody else is more important than me because we do it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is I will get to you in just a minute. Oh, you know, we got this. You know we could do it. Jesus.
Right.
Then what? Where are we going to get to a place where people that patronize us, we treat them with dignity?
I know. Custom services.
I was going to say, I just thought
it's another place I go get barbecue on the weekends. They set up.
Mm-hmm.
And I love their barbecue. It's real good. But if I'm in a line with 10 people standing this way, and then you have people walk up over here on the side and get their food before me, hell, I want
to
be on the
side.
Tell
me how I get to the
side or whatever. It's just some things or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you my mama and you come and call, I'll make yours and walk it over to the car. You're not going to stand over here to the side to sit up and have these people back here feeling like
just
been standing
there
15 minutes, feeling some kind of
way. It's about to go down.
You know, whatever. We have to do better, y'all. I mean, presentation is, to me, everything.
Everything.
You know, everything. When I make my little mask or whatever, now if I have my bag and
bring the bag. It's time. She said mask. Okay,
when I make my mask, now if I have an order, you know, I'm going to have you wrapped up in tissue paper and, you know, really nice or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm somewhere or whatever and I just have them and just lay them out, that's different. But if you take the time to order something from me, I'm going to take the time to make you feel really special about what you ordered from me.
Right. Okay.
You know,
make us feel special. Yeah, we're about to see these beautiful masks. I have been stalking her on Facebook when it comes to these masks, and I hope she brought my cheese print today.
I brought your
cheese. I got my little cash out, y'all.
I did bring
some masks. Okay. Make sure. Now, you see how sweet she is? Good customer service. She just lets you know. Okay, she's going to hook you up. Okay, you like any of these masks, she's going to give you all that information. Come on, tell us what's going on.
Okay, so.
Now, how you get into it, though? Because everybody's trying to make them, and they live. Well, and you know what?
I decided I was going to make some masks just, you know, like for me and my friends. And well, really for me, because I like to be cute. See, I have on green today, and I made me a mask today to go with the outfit that I had on today.
Boom.
See, I'm matching, yeah.
Boom.
So since it looks like we're going to be in masks for a while, I decided to do fun. Now, I make two different sizes. I have a nice round plus size face, and I can't stand to get a mask that looks like it's trying to go on my grandchildren's face. So I have two different sizes. So.
So what are the prices running for the mask?
So my prices range from $5 to $15.
Okay.
It just depends. So your prints
that
are not cartoon characters or sports are going to be $7.
Okay.
This nice green one like I have here. This one will be $5. Any of the solid colors are $5.
Okay.
And they're nice, double, you know.
Now you be on that sewing machine.
I be on that sewing machine. So she tells me every night to go to bed.
So you say go to bed.
Like you got to get you some rest. But so I have polka dots.
Oh, polka dots. So
okay. And I do interesting stuff. I do polka dots and stripes.
Okay, okay.
Just something to do. I love pink. So and butterflies. Got butterflies. And
so yours generally fit everybody.
No, I have two different sizes.
Okay.
Yeah, I have two different sizes. So these are the larger masks.
Okay.
So little round faces like mine.
Mm-hmm.
I got to ask you, you don't have anything for men, so this could be for a man or a woman, but, you know, cater to men. I have plaid.
Okay.
For the fun people, I've got Mickey, Minnie Mouse.
James on plaid. Might want plaid.
This is another one I came up with for men.
Oh,
the brown, it kind of looks like leather, but it's cotton.
Now I'm torn.
polka dots. Well, you know, you have a chance to take a look. I have paisleys and I have purples. I have stripes. And navy. I mean, I could put it together any way you want it. I have a friend that's an Omega. And he wanted one of these, so this was just the rest of the fabric left. So I had that.
I know Omega. Give me that. I'm going to get that for a gift for him.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And for the cowboys and cowgirls, I have the bandana look. For the divas, I have some.
Oh, Lord, I didn't bought that.
Some zebras and, you know. So, and now these right here, the these will be a $10 mask. So this will be $10, the cartoon characters. And these boogers right here.
Mm, I know.
These are the 15.
Mm-hmm.
They're hard to sew.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I have to work with those. And then the sports that I can find, I have rockets. I mean, Astros and Rockets.
Now, how much you charge if somebody bring you fabric?
If somebody bring me some fabric to do, I'll probably just charge them $5 to make it. You know, maybe, I don't know. If it's regular cotton material, maybe $4 or $5 to make it. If somebody brought me some material.
Regular cotton.
Just regular cotton material. Or whatever they brought, I try to work with it. You know, because some stuff is not easy.
Okay. Give them your page information on how they can come.
I am Keisha Roberson on Facebook. Now, I do have two pages because I sell jewelry, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, either of them, I check both of my pages.
I'm cheating.
Yeah. So, just Keisha Roberson on Facebook.
Yes. You heard it right here on... Sisters United. Now let's pay some bills. Now, Munchkin Christian Academy is now enrolling. All right, now, it's a prestigious private school, and if you want more information on it, you can go to munchkinchristianacademy.org, or you can call 832-879-8370. And get your munchkin into this academy, okay? Listen, and we also want you to know if you are tired of your cable, if you're tired of your cable, Lord have mercy. Your cable bill. That's what I want to talk about. You love your cable. If you're tired of that high-priced cable, all you need to do is contact Clear Vision Media. All right, Clear Vision Media 1. .com, okay? Go there, check it out. They can give you a deal as low as $1 a day. All you have to do is have a Fire Stick or a Fire TV or something like that, you know, and they will hook you up as low as $1 a day. And you can play it on Android, tablets, phones, all that good stuff, okay? Clear Vision Media. Let them stop that high cable bill. Oh, I'm getting good at these commercials. Now, Love Jones, you want to say a little bit before we get out the air?
I just want to say that I enjoy Sisters United Talk Show. I'm glad to be a host on it. I know I have a voice for somebody out there who hears me. So thank y'all for joining in on Sisters United Talk. We talk about everything, and sometimes you might not agree, but that's okay. We can agree to disagree. Peace and blessings.
I know that's right.
Really?
Agree to disagree. Come on. And then one thing I love about it, the reason I love Soulja Love Jones so much is because she'll teach you how to say what you need to say.
Yes, she will.
Go on, say it. You know, I like it because she grown. You know, and some folk ain't grown. You know, but it's okay. You need to find your voice and you need to walk in it. And you, because you only got one life.
That's right.
You got one life, and don't leave it being silent. You know,
right.
Wake up and get to talking. Come on, sign off for us.
Can I say one more thing,
hey,
y'all? Before we come.
Go. Okay. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Thanks to everybody who's joining on my live today. Same time, place next Wednesday, 10 a.m. Sisters United. Hopefully, all the technicals won't have us sidelined for a little bit. But thank you all. Come back for some real talk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let's Tammy, come on, sign off for us.
Yes, ma'am. As always, I enjoy being a co-host on Sisters United. I understand that, you know, sometimes we're going to have situations where, like Ms. Sotra said, you're going to have to learn to agree to disagree. We're not going to always agree all the time, and because that's unrealistic to agree all the time. But I love my sisters. I love being a part of it. I've learned I tell my children all the time that we have two ears and one mouth. You know, yes, you have your voice, but you got to actually learn how to listen. And I love the fact that we're doing what we do. I love the fact that we all have a voice, but I also love the fact that we can respect one another in our differences. And just because we're all black women, that don't mean we're going to always agree about things, but we gonna also have an understanding and agree the fact that all we want to do is be happy and all we want to do is be united as sisters and be able to coexist with one another. Love you all.
Amen.
All right. Come on, Rita.
Oh, well, thank you for joining our show. We want to just remember that humanity matters above all things.
Humanity
are all humans. First and foremost, and to our beautiful black African-American community, we want to say we continue to support each other. Don't let it die out. Support each other and water our own seed. And just remember to empower and inspire someone. Join us in on next week, Wednesday at 10 a.m.
All right. Well, this is Queenie. All I can say is that I love you all, and goodbye.
It's been real. It's been real, real.
Yeah.
We're going to keep them real. So we're going to talk to y'all next week. Same bad time, same bad channel. Listen to his poet talking about the breakdown.
United for one God, yet divided by ourselves. Wondering why people won't come in completely. They see us broken, breaking each other. She did, he did, they did. Church hurt me. And the others standing outside looking through stained glass windows. They stand aching to come